Okay, this is week two, class three of dreams and visions. So let's go ahead and pick up here where we left off. And we were in 1 Kings. We read that story of Solomon. Now, here on your outline it says, note, being totally sold out to Jesus can make it conducive to receiving ministry from God in dreams. This is extremely important. Because the more sold out to Jesus you are, the more sensitive you're going to be spiritually. And the more sensitive you are spiritually, is the more you're going to be able to receive from the Lord the dreams that He wants you to have, the more you're going to be able to detect, if you will, what it is He's trying to get across to you in the dreams, and the more able you are to receive that communication from Him openly and clearly. Now turn over to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Take a look at this one. In verse 1, it starts off and says that in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, for his sleep broke from him. The king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before him. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, well, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. Or in other words, this is stupid. What in the world? I mean, they're being very political here, okay? This is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. You know what? I think God has said, wait a minute. I know exactly. I mean, think about it. Okay, he doesn't remember it. So how does he know if I'm telling him the dream or not? Nevertheless, he was going to destroy them. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Well, that's because Daniel and the others were in the same category and they had been taken captive and so forth. Then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God. In other words, guys, we need to pray about this thing right now. The God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. There's your dream. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now jump down to verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show it unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Boy, can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar? Here he is. It's like, tell me. Yeah, you got it. Tell me. So Daniel begins to speak. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to these, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Is this a powerful dream or what? Now here's what's interesting. God gave that dream to Nebuchadnezzar, not Daniel. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is the one that dreamed this thing, a pagan king. Why did God give it to Nebuchadnezzar? Because at that time, he was the one who was in charge of everything. He was the leader. He was the head. Now again, this is important to remember. God works through leadership. That's why, kind of a side journey here, that's why it's important to recognize the position and the authority of the pastor. Even if the pastor is wrong, you don't buck up against that person because of the position they hold. Now, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to disagree. It doesn't mean that you have to agree when they're preaching and teaching wrong things. But what it means is you better be cautious in how you disagree. You see what I'm saying? All right, here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king. He has this dream. He knows it was an awesome dream. He knows he's had a dream. He can't remember it. It troubled him that much. I don't remember it, but I know it shook me up. So you guys come and tell me or die. Well, Daniel comes along. He gets the interpretation. He not only gets the dream, he gets the interpretation. He stands before the king and he says, okay, here it is. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen from this day forth for the rest of recorded human history. And that's exactly what he's the kingdom that's going to stand forever. He's talking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, in one dream and in one interpretation, the history of humanity is laid out. These kingdoms that were going to rise and fall and so forth. This is absolutely staggering, the magnitude of this dream. And God gave Daniel not only the dream, but the interpretation. It was impossible, for, in natural means, impossible for anything like this to happen to get. I mean, could somebody? You imagine somebody coming to you and saying, "Okay, look, I had a dream. Don't know what it was, but you have to tell me what it was and what it meant, or I'm going to kill you." Would that shake you up? You know what? Daniel doesn't seem to demonstrate a whole lot of fear. He just goes back to his prayer partners, and he says, "Guys, listen, we need to pray about this to get this, not only the dream, but the interpretation of this dream." God gave it to Daniel. Daniel says, "Here it is." And he told him. Well, now we're not going to go through the rest of the story here, but it's pretty interesting, Nebuchadnezzar's response and things that happened from that point forward. Let's jump up over to Matthew chapter 1. Now you have to admit, that was a very symbolic dream. And we read it and we can see and understand the interpretation. But if we had just read the dream and said, "Okay, here, interpret this," that might have been a bit of a challenge even for us today. Well, here in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Now, this is a pretty impressive dream as well. Now, there's no symbolism in this whatsoever, but he has an encounter. Look at this. In verse 20, it says, "While he thought about these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Now, compare this to over in Luke chapter 1, what is said. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now turn back over to Matthew. The encounter that Mary had, it said that the angel appeared unto her, but she wasn't asleep. It just said the angel appeared to her. This was not a vision. It was not a dream. The angel appeared to her. But with Joseph, this was a dream. But what's interesting is that with Mary, this angel is identified, the angel Gabriel. With Joseph, it just says, the angel of the Lord. Now, some people have said that this was Gabriel, and it may well have been. I don't know. However, he's not identified by name. It just says, the angel of the Lord. There is an obvious difference here between what happened with Joseph and what happened with Mary. Now, here's the thing about it. This term, angel of the Lord, and we won't go back and read this in Genesis 18, 1 through 33, or Genesis 22, 1 through 19, but you can go back and read this later on. Part of it deals with the fact, remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham's out there, and it says that these three men showed up and began talking to him. And the one, I mean, it calls him the Lord, right there in Scripture. It calls him the Lord. And in the other, Genesis 22, or in these two, one, it's the Lord appears, and the other, there's a dream involved here, and you can go back and read it later on. Now, there are a lot of theologians that are firmly convinced that in some of these instances where it says the angel of the Lord, this is either in a dream, a spiritual encounter with the Lord before he was brought into, birthed into this world, or it was a pre-incarnate visitation by the Lord. Now, don't ask me to explain how all this happens, especially the pre-incarnate vision, the thing with Abraham on the plane and the Lord visiting him, Abraham cooking food, them eating it. So I can't explain the mechanics of it. I just know what I read in Scripture. Now, here with Joseph and here with Mary, we're presented with an interesting situation. Mary is pregnant, right? the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Joseph knows that Mary is pregnant, but the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph. So which was it? Was it Gabriel? We don't know. Could have been. Was it another angel? Well, it just says the angel of the Lord. But if this is a pre-incarnate experience in a dream with the Lord, let your mind wander here. Mary's pregnant with the Lord, but the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Let this one ramble around in your mind for a while. Now here's another one. Now again, guys, all we're doing here is kind of speculating because of the obvious difference in reference between what happened with Joseph and what happened with Mary. A name with Mary, Gabriel, with Joseph, angel of the Lord. If this was a spiritual encounter with the Lord Himself, and the Lord is talking about Himself being born of Mary, when Jesus was born and growing up, did Joseph see any resemblance to Jesus thinking back to the dream that he had? Now see, I don't know, and to some people this probably sounds like the craziest, goofiest, nuttiest kind of thing in the world to say, oh, Brother Martin, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm not preaching doctrine here. I'm not trying to teach you that this is scripturally accurate. I'm just saying we've got two encounters, Joseph and Mary. In one case, it is the angel Gabriel. In the other case, the angel of the Lord. If it was Gabriel, why wasn't he identified as Gabriel? Do you understand what I'm saying here? But either way, Joseph knew that he had received a word from God. Now this, it had to be somebody, even if it was Gabriel. I mean, somehow he had to have been impressed so strongly that Joseph, she's going to give birth to the Messiah. Everything's going to be okay. It had to have been so real to him that he was willing to endure the public ridicule of having a wife who was pregnant with somebody else's baby. You see what I'm saying? It had to have been so real to him in this dream that he was willing to accept a pregnant wife and believe that the baby she was carrying was God's baby. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I would have needed some really powerful, some kind of something special to happen to me in that dream for me to wake up and know I've had a visit from God. And Mary, sweetheart, now I believe you. Anyway, can you see how that this particular dream, as well as the others we've looked at, but how this particular dream, I mean, it really did change the course of history? And Joseph stayed with her? All right, let's look someplace else here. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1, it starts off talking about the fact that Jesus had been born, and the wise men come, and they say, "Where's the king of the Jews?" And Herod got really upset, and he says, "What? What do you mean, king of the Jews? I am the king of the Jews." Well, Herod said, "Look, you guys, tell me about this, and I'll worship him too." Well, in verse 9, it says they heard the king, and they're following the star, and they found the baby. They were worshiping him, all excited. But then look in this. In verse 12 it says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So somehow God appears to these magi and he tells them, "Hey, do not go back to Herod. You go back home another way." Well, Herod hears about it, and boy, does he get upset. Because in verse 13 it says, "When they left, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream." Now here it is again, the angel of the Lord. Now why do you think it says this again, not Gabriel? Well, because again, it may not have been Gabriel. Whatever angel it was, whoever it was that visited him, I maintain, though I cannot prove this, I maintain it's probably the same person that visited him previously. Whatever angel it was, same one. Nevertheless, he says, "Look, take child and mom, go to Egypt, because Herod's going to try and kill him." Well, he obeys. And then if you go forward through this, It's where Herod has all the two-year-olds and under killed. And verse 19, it says, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream and says, now, you get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for they are dead, the ones that were going to kill the child's life. So he arose and took the child, and they went to Israel, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm perfectly willing to admit that every one of these angels that appeared on him could have been different angels. I don't know. I just thank God that Joseph recognized whoever it was. He recognized that this was of God, and he obeyed. Now, you know what is so incredible to me is how that, again, no symbolism here. It's just like maybe this angel standing before Joseph in this dream saying, Joseph, now look here, I've got some, this is what God wants me to tell you. You need to take the baby and go here. Now, Joseph, you need to take the baby, go to Israel. You need to go here. In other words, he knew that this was of God. Now, let me interject this. I guarantee you that you're going to encounter Christians who are going to tell you that somehow God appeared to them or they received a word from God in a dream, whatever, just, and it's going to be the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life. It is not of God. But they are so far out in left field that they believe they're hearing from God. And I will tell you this now. God is never going to appear to somebody in a dream and tell them to do something that's going to lead them into failure, hardship, disaster, hurt, anything else. He will not do it. So when somebody comes back and says, I don't know why God told me to do that in that dream, because there was nothing but trouble when I did it. I had all kinds of problems. I went broke, lost everything, got sick, cat died, whatever. No, God won't tell somebody to do something in a dream to where the end result is going to be disaster for them. But yet there are a lot of Christians that are on the way opposite end of this dream stuff, to where everything is of God, no matter how stupid, no matter how weird, no matter how Taco Bell, everything is of God, and they end up making huge mistakes in their lives and ministries because they do not understand how to properly interpret dreams. Now let's talk about this whole thing. These are just some examples. There are other examples in Scripture, but these are examples that you can look at and begin to maybe read over them again, meditate on them some more, because it helps you to get more of a mindset for dreams. Now, this whole thing of sleep and dreaming. Sleep is the realm of dreams. And as mentioned before, everybody dreams every night. Dreams can be natural or spiritual, and we have the ability to enhance our process of dreaming. And we'll get into that in even more detail in week 3 and week 4. The more we enhance the dreaming process, the better we'll be able to remember and understand and interpret our dreams. And this is really important for us. Understanding sleep. Now let's talk about sleep for a moment. Science has identified essentially 5 stages of sleep. Stage 1 is drowsiness. Your eyes are closed. Well, it's the part that leads up to you closing your eyes. But your eyes are closed, and it's the entry-level period of sleep. And if a person is awakened during this period, he may not feel as though ever asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but when I learned about this, it's helped me to identify times when I have been awakened that I thought I hadn't been sleeping, but then as I lay there and think about it, I realized I was asleep. I just didn't think I was asleep. Well, in days to come, you're going to you become more sensitive to this kind of stuff after going through all of these kinds of things and studying this. This stage may last up to 10 minutes. Stage 2. Your heart begins to slow down. Your muscles intermittently flex and relax. Now, where it says flex and relax, we're not talking about great demonstrations of motion here, okay? This will maybe be an imperceptible flexing and relaxing of certain muscles. But they begin to flex and relax. There's a drop in body temperature. Again, remember how that we talked about sometimes you go to bed and the house feels warm. A little bit later, all of a sudden, everything starts feeling kind of cold, you know, and you kind of wake up from it. Well, that's because you're getting into stage 2 sleep, and your body is the temperature is dropping down, and this is the stage in which you are preparing for deep sleep. Now, stage 3, this initial level of deep sleep, the body is entering into greater relaxation. And the brain is settling into a pattern for deepest sleep. Now, this is really important. There's so much I could have put in this outline, but it would have taken so many pages. What they have found in sleep studies, when they hook the probes and the diodes, and not probes, that sounds invasive, when they hook up, you know, the electrodes and all that to a person's head to where they can measure the electrical currents, they've noticed that as a person enters into stage three, prior to stage three, here's an example. Though this is maybe not scientifically the best example, it'll help you relate. Have you ever seen the heart monitor where it shows the heart beating? Okay. All right. Now think of that as stage one, stage two, sleep. Okay. The skipping line and the motion and the movement. Stage three, it becomes more of a stable. It's starting to settle down, becoming more of a stable pattern of motion on the scopes. Stage four sleep, this is the deepest level of sleep. The brain emits waves of rhythmic continuity to sustain this sleep. In other words, the peaks and the valleys of the scope, of the line going across the scope, is going to be very stable. A very definitive, continuous pattern that is measured. Stages one through four are non-rapid eye movement stages, or NREM, sleep. And each of these stages lasts between 5 and 15 minutes. The entire cycle lasts between 90 and 120 minutes. Dreaming does not occur during non-rapid eye movement stages. It only happens during rapid eye movement stages. Stages 2 and 3 cycle backwards prior to rapid eye movement or REM sleep, meaning the typical dream cycle runs in this fashion. Stages 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, and then 5. And that's where you hit the sleep. Now, stage 5, this is the level of sleep where dreaming occurs. The body will experience changes. Respiration increases, becoming erratic. Heart rate increases, maybe becoming erratic. Muscles in the hands, legs, feet, and face may begin to twitch. Have you ever gone into a bedroom and it looks like somebody's doing calisthenics? Okay, here's an example. Have you ever seen a dog or a cat running while they're asleep? I mean, laying on the floor and their legs are doing this? Okay, that's a variation. Now, you know, I hope you don't do that when you're sleeping, but that's kind of a variation of what we're talking about here. Your body can start to move. Have you heard stories of people like they're fighting? I mean, literally, physically, somebody has observed another person like they're punching. Okay, well, that's part of what's happening here in all of this. It's some weird stuff can happen. Heightened brain activity can produce intense, vivid dreams. Have you ever had some dreams that were so real that you honestly believed that they were happening? Now, here's a weird one. Have you ever had dreams to where you were dreaming and you woke up, but after you woke up, you realized you're still dreaming? So then you wake up, but then you realize, I'm not really awake, I'm still dreaming. Well, I need to wake up. And then you wake up, but you realize you're still dreaming. Now, that can become, if you've never experienced that, let me tell you something. That's one of the weirdest things you could ever experience, is to think you're awake, but then realize you're still dreaming. You consciously realize you're not awake. You consciously realize you're still dreaming. Then you do something to wake yourself up, but realize you didn't wake up after all. You're still dreaming. Okay? Now, without meaning to get gross or anything, that's why, okay, you expect little children, babies to wet the bed. That's why a lot of adults can wet the bed. You think you got up, went to the bathroom, and that you're in the bathroom. And what is it that wakes you up? The need to change the sheets. That's what makes you... I mean, hey, listen, it's probably happened to all of us at some point in time. But isn't it so real? I mean, you honestly believe that you're in the bathroom. And, I mean, if somebody were to walk up and ask you, you say, excuse me, but I'm in the bathroom. It is so real. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, what have I done? Well, anyhow, these very vivid dreams. Now, quite often, these very vivid dreams, if this kind of dreaming begins, the body enters various levels of paralysis. Have you ever had a dream where you tried to move and couldn't? Now, here's a weird phenomenon. Maybe some of you have experienced it. Have you ever had a dream, couldn't move, woke up internally, and knew you were awake, but could not open your eyes, could not move, yet you knew everything that was going on around you? That has happened to me on several occasions, to where I'll be awake, but I cannot move, I cannot speak, I cannot open my eyes, but I am awake. And I can hear the people, or like my wife comes in or whatever, I can hear what's being... I know I am consciously aware of everything, but I can't move. And there have been times to where the only thing I have been able to do to break out of it is muster up enough strength to just like jerk a little bit. And Kathy has come and said, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And what I'm trying to do is say, wake me, but I can't, you know, like, remember the tin man? Remember, oi, 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 oi. Well, I'm trying to get awakened. And I'm telling you what, that is a weird place to be, that intermittent, you know, waking, sleeping kind of netherland. Well, anyway, in this paralysis, scientists theorize that this helps prevent the individual from physically acting out his dreams. Now think about some of the dreams you would act out if your body was responding the way that you think you're responding in your dream. Wouldn't that be weird? Well, a person can have several periods of REM in one night. The first one may be 10 to 15 minutes long, and each period tends to be longer. Some REM periods have been measured to last up to 1 hour. Now that's kind of exceptional. Many scientists believe that dreaming is critical to physical and mental health. And we'll touch on this in just a few moments, but this is an extremely important point. As stage 5 ends, a person drifts back towards stage 2, possibly even waking. The entire sleep cycle, stages 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 5, is repeated several times each night. Let's talk about creating an atmosphere for sleep. Make sleep a priority. Since dreams come with sleep, this should be a non-issue. Now, really, this should mean a whole lot more to us. You know, a lot of people say, well, I try to sleep as little as I can. Well, you know, you might be missing something from God here. Try to avoid stressful situations in the evening prior to sleep. Do your best to establish certain activities prior to sleep. Make them habits. This signals the body and the mind to begin preparing for sleep. For example, let's say that you read your Bible before you go to bed, or you brush your teeth or something. In other words, if you can develop some little somethings as a habit every night before you go to bed, then it tells your mind and your body, oh, golly, we're getting ready to go to sleep. Try to go to bed and get up at the same time 7 days a week. This conditions the body and brain to develop stable sleep patterns. A room that is cool but not cold and free from excess noise is important. A good quality mattress and box springs are invaluable for good sleep. If your body is not comfortable, it sends signals to the brain, you know, I do not like this bed at all, and I am very uncomfortable, I'm hurting, I'm upset, while, you know, whatever. As the body is sending those signals to the brain then is not able to settle into the stable patterns of sleep that eventually produce the dreaming. But it just your body cannot relax properly for sleep period. Regular exercise is beneficial. It helps rid the body of toxins that can interfere with sleep. And this is really important, because if you got a bunch of junk going on inside your body, it can mess up your sleep. It helps the body and mind diffuse stress, and it helps the muscles relax quicker when you go to bed. Stimulants like drugs, caffeine, certain cold medicines, etc., can linger in the body and inhibit sleep. Avoid them as much as possible. Now, I realize not everybody lives this way, all right? Well, all I'm doing is telling you what's conducive for good sleep. Nicotine and other chemicals released in the body through the use of tobacco interfere with the brain's ability to regulate sleep stages, so don't smoke. And contrary to popular belief, drinking alcohol at bedtime does not cause a person to sleep better. The old Brother Mark, that does. Come on by. No. Alcohol acts as a type of sleeping pill. I know that alcohol can cause a person to relax. However, it interferes with the brain's ability to control stages of sleep, and it can actually prohibit the vital stage of 5, REM sleep. Now, here's what's interesting. Alcohol, in fact, it's been shown that drunks Guys, people that are really drunk, they do not dream. They never hit stage five. Now, earlier here in the outline, it mentioned that many scientists believe that dreaming is critical to physical and mental health. Here is what certain studies have shown. And there's always going to be two sides to every study, if you know what I mean. But some studies have shown that unless a person has regular REM stage 5 dreaming sleep, it leads to various stages of psychosis and mental illness. Because what's happening is the body, the mind, the brain is conditioned to head in the direction of stage 5. If something happens to stop that and circumvent it, then the brain is never able to complete the sleep cycle. And if this continues on a pattern, this is why a lot of people who drink a lot start acting weird. Now, it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why. It's not just the alcohol. It's because they're not able to sleep the way that they're supposed to sleep. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. In some of this research, they found if you take the alcohol away from the drinkers and keep them from drinking, eventually their brain returns to the normal patterns of sleep and their bodies start responding. In other words, it actually can produce a healing effect in their bodies that some of the alcohol... people that drink a lot, you can usually tell it in their bodies. Even if they're not emaciated, you can sometimes tell just because, like, their face and, I mean, just things about their body, you can tell. Take away the alcohol, and a lot of these people go back to regular stages of sleep. The alcohol does mess up. I know it creates muscle relaxation and so forth. And a lot of people say, well, just a glass of wine before I go to bed at night and everything's okay. Well, one glass of wine and the alcohol contained in that one glass may or may not have a dramatic impact or may or may not interfere dramatically with your sleep patterns, but there's no way to know what's happening. There's no way to know what that 1 ounce of wine is. Now, we're not here talking about pro or con alcoholic beverage. We're just talking about the effect it can have, okay? There's no way to measure that because it's going to be different for each person. But it has been scientifically proven that alcohol does interfere with the sleep pattern, okay? It does produce a relaxed effect in the body and the muscles, but it interferes with the sleep patterns. And so therefore, if it's your choice to consume alcohol, then it's important not to do it before you go to bed and sleep. And I don't even know what kind of a time frame you're looking at that. I mean, if you choose to drink wine or whatever it would be, at least give it a couple of hours before your last... Well, granted, if you're drinking all day long, okay. 2 hours before bed, probably not going to matter. You understand what I'm saying here, okay? And again, this is not a discussion of, you know, Christians drinking or not drinking. We're discussing the effects of alcohol on the sleep patterns here and how it does interfere, no matter how relaxed you feel, it does interfere with the sleep pattern at night and can interfere with your ability to enter into stage 5, which is very critical. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and pray, and we'll dismiss, and we'll pick up next time. Father, we thank you for what sleep means to us, the dreams, the visions, and so forth. And we thank you for what we're learning in this course and how that we can receive direction from you in dreams and visions. And again, Father, I just pray and declare that we will become more sensitive to dreams, to visions. We'll become more aware of the dreams that we have and so forth, so that we can not just understand the dreams, but we'll be able to interpret, we'll be able to clearly discern the difference between spiritual and natural dreams, and that, Father, we will know, we will understand and be thoroughly convinced that, yes, you will minister to us, you can minister to us through dreams and visions. Now, Father, we love you, we bless you, we honor you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.